If you want to support the show, any of the shows, either this or whichever show, I'm not on right now because this is just a blanket ad for all of them, and the website, you can go to bewareofspoilers, .com. In the description for any of the episodes of Beware of Spoilers, there is the option to donate. If you don't want to donate that way, you can donate directly through the website. We do have that, mwpnews.com. And if you don't want to support that way, then going to mwpnews.com will help out because we have ads there. We don't want to keep it, where there's a lot of ads. There's a few ads. But the point is, we want to make it so that way, we can sustain this for the long term. If people donate, we're never going to paywall anything, I don't think, as of right now. But if people, if people start donating, we'll start doing cooler and cooler stuff. Like donations are how we get to cover stuff like Tribeca and other, film festivals. And, we may be able to bring on more people to help out. So if you want to help out the show and you want more content from us, by all means, even just going and giving us a 5-star rating on Spotify helps out a lot. But that's it. That's the only ad we'll have on the podcast ever. But here's whatever podcast you're going to be listening to. Hey, so you're probably looking at this episode and thinking, like, huh. This movie is not recent. And on Beware of Spoilers, usually we get new release movies. And you're right. This is not a recent release. This is a movie that came out, I would say, based on the episodes that I've been going through, between 2018 and maybe even 2016 and 2020. We had a technical glitch back in when we were doing. When we had Spreaker as our thing. I don't know if it's a technical glitch or a billing error or whatever. But point is, we lost a good amount of the episodes. At Spreaker, you had to pay to host, and if you didn't pay to host, you had to what's it called? You only had like 100 hours, something like that, of content available, of space available, maybe even less than that. Maybe even 10. But either way, you only had a certain amount of time available. On your cloud, and when that happened, we lost a ton of data. So what we had, fortunately, a lot, if not all, I wouldn't say all, because there were a lot that weren't, but a lot were backed up on the what's it called, on YouTube. So all of this is to say that this is an episode that previously aired, but is not currently on the podcast feed. So, in an effort to kind of flesh out some of our older reviews and get, a kind of a historical record of where, what we thought of these movies when it happened, we're going to be putting up the episodes. Anyway, it's just the episodes with this. Every Tuesday we're going to have this, and it's going to have this notation before it. I think we, as of right now, as of recording this, we have enough to go through January of 2025. There are quite a few episodes that we haven't put up yet. We did put up a bunch a few years ago, in July of, I think, 2022, or 2023. But this is trying to get more of them up. It's still not all, because, I know I did Fast Color, because I went into Manhattan to see Fast Color in a theater, at the AMC. In what's it called at the AMC in what's it called in I forgot what word I'm looking for here at the AMC in AMC Empire. Like I went into Manhattan to see that, and I don't have the episode for it, which is kind of weird. But regardless, the point I'm trying to make is this is a previously recorded episode that reflects my reviews usually immediately after seeing a movie. Sometimes it'll be mine and Josie, or mine and Peter, because there are a few episodes they were on for. Like, I know, like, I'm fairly certain that Peter was on for, what's it called? That Peter was on for, like the John Wick Chapter 2 one or John Wick Chapter 3. I'm fairly certain Josie was on for X-Men Apocalypse. So some of these will have that. Again, there should be a shortened version of this in the description, so it will be apparent. And if you want the exact date these were uploaded initially, if you go to the YouTube channel and just look for the video that corresponds to this episode, there will be the original upload date. So, I mean, and look, a lot of it is going to be, it was reasonably close to whatever day the movie came out, usually like that. Like, the movie came out on Friday, like, sometimes the Thursday before. But what really instigated this was on our website, MWPnews.com, we now have a section, an index of all of our reviewed content, and I wanted to flesh that out a little bit better. And rather than directing it sometimes to within the website, sometimes to YouTube, sometimes to Spotify, it's just easier to say demarcation line if it is pre-Spotify. If it's after the date we updated it, then it's gonna, it's gonna stay on the website. If it's before the date we updated, it is, it's gonna redirect within the website, and YouTube will be there if you want to watch on YouTube, but more or less, this is probably the best way to do it. But after a little 5-minute intro, enjoy this episode from, 5 years ago. Welcome to Beware of Spoilers, I am Adam. Alright. Episode number, I don't know off the top of my head, I didn't look before, don't know why I didn't do that, that was pretty stupid of me. There are two movies that I think of after seeing today's blockbuster that I saw. First, and more recent and more relevant, Batman v Superman, which came out on Good Friday in 2016. 2015. I don't remember. Was it 2015 or 2016? I think it was 2016 because then Civil War came out, right? Yeah, it was 2016. Good Friday 2016. Batman v Superman comes out. The reviews hit. They hit hard. And they hit from all sides. They attacked the movie, mercilessly attacked the movie, and I went into the movie expecting to hate it, based on the reviews, and turns out, the movie was not that bad. I've seen better, definitely seen better, but there's a lot going on in the movie. The movie wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be, and also, the second movie that's come to the forefront of my attention, as a result of seeing the movie I saw today, Iron Man came out 10 years ago in May, so 10 years and almost 10 years and 5 months, give or take. This movie shares a lot of story beats with the grandfather of Marvel Studios. Movie, of course, I'm talking about is Venom, which is Sony's foray into the world of making a superhero cinematic universe. Sony's universe of Marvel characters, which is a mouthful, to say the least. Now, that said, I didn't mind this movie. I went into this movie expecting to hate it, fully expecting to hate this movie. Now, I'm not gonna sit here and blatantly praise the movie. Also, similar to Batman v Superman, one of my biggest complaints is the CGI is just terrible. There's a lot of terrible CGI in this movie, especially when you get to the end and you have Riot and Venom facing off at the very end of the movie. There's a lot going on there that, doesn't quite look 100%. I'm not saying real because it's two symbiotic aliens fighting, so I don't know what a real version of that would look like to begin with. I'm willing to bet money it's not what I saw there, but it's not bad enough where it damns the entire movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stylistic choices that make the movie seem like it's a little bit older and more dated than it is. Tom Hardy's accent's a little bit grating at times. But really, if you can get past all of that, and the first third of the movie is a slog. Until he binds with Venom, it's a slog to get through. Because Eddie Brock is not an endearing character to get to know. Nothing about what goes on up until that point is entertaining in the least. But by the time you get to where he bonds with Venom, it's actually a pretty fun movie at that point. We get to see his conversations with Venom, where Venom's in his head, so you just hear a voice, and he's talking out loud, are pretty fun, and he's trying to, like, get to know Venom, not get to know Venom, but, like, get into somewhat of an agreement with Venom on how things are gonna work between the two of them. Like, there's a scene of him on a cable car, and he's like, okay, so we're gonna stand up now, we're gonna stand over here until it stops, and it stops, like, okay, now we're gonna get off now. And, like, it's to make him look not crazy in front of everyone. So it's actually a pretty entertaining, like, the relationships between them are pretty entertaining. The relationship between him and Michelle Williams has, I would say, no chemistry, but that's an accurate assessment. There's, like, no chemistry between the two of them at all. There's no chemistry between her and Reed Scott, who is reprising his role as Dan from, what's that show? Veep. And no, that's not me making a joke. His character's name in this is also Dan. So it's, I wasn't 100%, like, until she said he's a surgeon, I wasn't 100% sold that it wasn't the same character, because she introduces him and she's like, oh, and this is my boyfriend Dan, and I'm like, okay, that's definitely the same guy from Veep, and it is the same guy from Veep, where he also plays Dan. It's just not the same Dan. He's a surgeon in this. It's just a similar Dan. So I'm gonna say it's the same person. Why not? Tangent over, back to Venom. I went into this movie expecting to hate it because I had an idea of a better way Sony could have done this, and if they waited a year, maybe it would have been less muddled of a movie, and because you could have. It could have been a different movie, I think, where you have. Okay, Venom's origin comes from when Secret Wars first happened way back in the 80s. I don't want to say way back in the 80s, it was only like 40 years ago almost, but just about 40 years ago, 30 some odd years ago. Spider-Man comes back from Secret Wars. It's a big fight in space. The Beyonder comes and messes around with the universe, creates Battle World. Everyone faces off against each other. It's a bunch of what-if stories of heroes fighting. The Avengers and the other Marvel heroes manage to put everything right to the way it was, but Spider-Man comes back and he has his black suit. As we all know, comic book fans love change. So this very quickly went away, and he went back to his traditional costume, but the suit turned out was a symbiote that was Venom. That's where Venom comes from. Now, they could have done that, considering we just saw, what's it called? We just saw Infinity War, with Spider-Man going to space, and considering Spider-Man Far From Home is coming out next July, and there's another Avengers movie where Spider-Man is still in space, between then and now, you could have had him come back, and set pictures from Far From Home, do show that there's a black suit on set. It's the Celt suit, it's not the symbiote suit, or the black suit from the comics. He comes back with and he has a new Celt suit that's black. There is plenty that you could have done to introduce the symbiote there, and not have Venom specifically be the villain of that movie. You can introduce him. You could have even had Venom be the villain of this movie, and then you could have given him his own movie, not necessarily in the same calendar year, but it would have been a good way to backdoor Venom into his own little pocket of the Marvel universe, which I think would have served them well, more so than Venom being in his own world. And A lot of the scenes are set in the dark, specifically, I think, because of how bad CGI is. I know that has nothing to do with what I was just talking about, but I'm kind of just stream of consciousness, whatever comes to me. I don't even know how I got onto that from what I was talking about previously. Oh, I know. I want to talk about how this is a worse version of the car chase from Ant-Man and the Wasp, which takes place also in San Francisco. But there is, I know it sounds like I'm shitting on the movie a lot, but this happened with Batman v Superman as well, where there's a lot wrong with it, and it's easier to talk about what's wrong with it than it is to talk about what's right, because it's not like when I saw, there was some movie I saw recently where I was like, what the fuck, why am I, the Equalizer 2, where it's like, there's no real, I have no reason to get invested in this movie. There's nothing to pull you in to invest in the plot. This one, you feel like you've seen this movie before, I think is the best way to put it. Because that was the feeling I got as I was watching it. And then as I got to the end, when the confrontation happened at the Life Foundation headquarters between Venom and Riot, I was like, oh yeah, I have seen this movie before. Do you know where it is? It's Iron Man. Where he's got his symbiote, he's bounded with his, then Riot bonds with Carlton Drake, then they go and, right before the end, they have a little conversation, where he's without his, what's it called, I almost called him Ed Hardy. That's not his name. Eddie Brock is without his suit. They go. They fight. The girlfriend goes and starts using other stuff from a control room to try and help out the hero. They fight. Just when he's on his last legs, he saves the day. He goes off, then there's a little scene of them two together with Michelle Williams, whose character I don't remember, and Eddie. They have a little scene at her house, then he goes off and he's giving ground rules to Venom, and then at the end of the movie we get a very I am Iron Man moment, where the only time we hear it, despite being the tagline for the movie in all marketing material, we are Venom, is when he has that scene from the trailer, which, let me just tell you, is not any less awkward in the movie, where he's, Venom is attacking a guy who we find out earlier in the movie is just like local mob enforcement for the lady who owns the shop that he goes to. And he goes, and there's the We Are Venom moment with after he gives a speech where, like, we're rolling down the street like this armless, legless, faceless thing, like a turd in the wind. It's still a weird line, not quite fun, not quite even, like, endearing in a way that, like, he's an anti-hero, so, like, we can get away with this kind of stupidity. It's still a weird line. And that's another problem I have with the movie, is the writing is a little bit off a lot of the time. In the same way that, like, if you watch Titanic, the writing is off throughout the movie. So yeah, you got slogged through a lot of really shitty dialogue. And finally, the post-credit scene, which it reminds me a lot of the end of X-Men Apocalypse. We sat through a movie that was okay, not great, not terrible, middle of the line. You sit through the movie, you get to the end of the movie, and there is, at the end of X-Men Apocalypse, there's a scene of everyone in somewhat costume of what you recognize the X-Men to look like, about to face off against some Sentinels, and you're like, okay, here it is, if you go see the next movie, it will be right the next time, and we won't know if that's true until next summer when, Dark Phoenix comes out, but that said, here we have a scene of Tom Hardy going to visit someone in prison. Person, it turns out, is Cletus Cassidy, played by Woody Harrelson. Which I think is a good casting choice. I think Woody Harrelson can play an unhinged sociopath, serial killer, pretty well. And he says,
when I if I get out of here, when I get out of here, and I will, there will be Carnage, which is obviously setting up that they want to do Carnage in a future movie. I don't know. I feel like we have more of Sony's classic rushing into things without really thinking about it. Because this is the same studio that wanted to have a Suicide Squad Sinister Six movie come out 2 years ago, which would have been a terrible idea. It's the same movie that thought that doing an Avengers style team up of a bunch of different Spider-Men from across the universe, the multiverse, would have been a good idea, and try and treat Spider-Man 2099 like a period piece, and have Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2099. Aunt May, time displaced Aunt May from the solo film. There's a lot going on in behind the scenes that I don't think would mesh well. But I think they're rushing into Carnage. I think Carnage is too quick, and Carnage is too strong of a villain for the Venom that we see in this movie. Because this Venom could barely handle Riot. I don't think he can handle Carnage. So, also, I feel like, we don't have enough development of Venom as a character to be able to develop an entire villain like that. Like, we need another movie with a quick villain to be there. To be there before we do, so we can get some actual development of Eddie Brock as a person before we go into developing Carnage. Because where we are right now with where Carnage is, or where Cletus Kasady is, he's in jail in a Supermax prison. And there's no explanation as to how Carnage would get in there for him to become Carnage. So they'll have to think about that in the future. Maybe set up Carnage as a villain for an Avengers-style team-up. If you can come up with a bunch of other characters, you can probably do Spider-Man 2099 if you really want to and have him team up. You can do, for a villain, for the next movie, you can introduce Anti-Venom. You can introduce any number of other symbiotes. There are plenty of other characters you can introduce that can definitely fill the void if you're going to try and do that. So that way, Carnage has a chance to really shine. And Carnage is going to require more than one hero to take down, I think. Or in this case, anti-hero, which is what they've been billing it the entire time. So yeah, we'll wrap it up there for Venom. If you, today is Thursday, preview night, so you probably haven't seen Venom yet, but definitely give it a shot. I mean, I don't want to shit on the movie and say don't try it. It's not bad enough to completely shut it down. Like, Suicide Squad, I felt safe saying there was very little redeeming about it. This movie, you can get an honest-to-goodness good time out of if you actually go and see it, and it's definitely worth your time to go see. That said, maybe not opening weekend, considering I don't know how long in theaters A Star Is Born is going to be, and that movie I'm not seeing until tomorrow. And I've heard very good things about it from some of my coworkers, but definitely check out Venom. If you can see, I don't want to say if you can see another movie this weekend, because I haven't seen A Star Is Born yet, because maybe that's better. It probably is better. But this movie, it's definitely worth your time. If you have to see it for $5 on a Tuesday. So with that said, we'll be back tomorrow with A Star Is Born.